Hey everybody, what is going on? This is your boy Christian Israel, and you are tuned into Christ in Crypto in the Morning. If you're watching this small little section later, this is actually the second part of the podcast. That's the daily topics, and this is where we drive into the news cycle section of what's going on in the cryptocurrency markets or in the stock markets or the equities, wherever it may be. We do this show in threes. The first one is technical analysis, which we just passed. The second one is the news cycle, which you're in right now. And the third is our new creation scripture section, because of course this is called Christ in Crypto, and the main focus of the whole show around it anyway, at the center, I should say, is Christ. So today, guys, we are going to discuss just the news cycle. This is going to be our Wednesdays. On Wednesdays, it's going to be me and you on Wednesdays. Welcome Wednesdays, I guess is a good way to call that. You know what? I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write that down right now. On Wednesdays, guys, we're going to do what's called Welcome Wednesdays. Welcome Wednesdays is going to be a place where during the TA, you bring your questions. Okay? Rope-a-dope asks for H-Bar and Constellation today. And then in the dailies, we'll do a video catch-up. Okay? That's what Welcome Wednesdays are going to be. And for you guys who are just getting here, because the first one was learning about trading in the bear market, I got to say this again. Tomorrow we're going to have an interview on, okay? Interview. I mean, maybe we could try to get an interview on a regular basis. I really like when we have people involved. Her name is Abigail Ritchie. She is the project manager and technical writer for Forum 12, okay? She will be here tomorrow to discuss what we jumped in yesterday on Carbon 12, Hologram, and Gridiron, which is cryptocurrency usage and technology for Christians and the church. So we're going to see what she says. It's not something I endorse. I have no feelings about it. Lord willing, if it's a great company and it has real use case, then I will be on board if the Lord leads us in that direction. However, you guys know in this space, you got to be careful. So when we come on, bring your questions. Let's hit her with the hard questions. But we know we come with the grace of the Lord, because that's what we appreciate. So we will be on that interview tomorrow. So make sure that you are here bright and early, 9 a.m. live. So let's go ahead and jump into what we're seeing. And one of the things that I want to jump into is the reason Robinhood has been, you know, you heard the other day that Sam Freeman buys Robinhood. Okay, so where are you at? Sam Freeman buys Robinhood. Did you guys really take that up? Anyway, he put a 7% stake. He put a 7% stake in Robinhood the other day. And that's crazy that all of a sudden, why can't... All right, not happy about that. Because I just talked about it the other day. And now I don't see any of it, which is crazy. And he bought a... That's weird. He literally bought a stock in Robinhood a couple days ago and owned 7% of it. And then today, or yesterday, we understood why. And this is my insider trading. They must have got rid of those articles. Robinhood to let users hold their crypto and NFTs as it reaches growth beyond stock trading. What does that mean? Permissionless wallets have now been launched on Robinhood. Okay? Permissionless wallets have now been launched on Robinhood, which is pretty cool. Even though their stock was tanking, we shorted that the other day. I got out of that short now. And so we actually shorted it and got out of profit. And now it's up. And then we made 6% on that. Once the permissionless thing was announced yesterday, we went ahead and got out. And ever since that announcement's bought, we shorted it on Sam Friedman's purchase of the stock. We shorted immediately on that because he bought and then boom, it shorted. Then the announcement was made about Robinhood. Now we got out. We did not long because we want to see it break a new high. Our new area. So once it breaks back into $11, then we will go ahead and get a long on that after the back test. Okay, so what is next on the things? Oh, that's me. Follow me if you get a chance. Appreciate you. Okay, so I was looking for this whole video yesterday. I still haven't found this video. Let me see if anybody, I'm going to reload and see if anybody has put a copy of the full video in the comments real quick before we go. Volume bumped up. Let's see. Let's go ahead. I think it's still 220. How much do we have here? Yep. Okay. So someone bumped up the volume 30 pieces for us. So I'm going to mute mine and then we're going to hit play.
Is a currency or an investment asset?
I'm going to do this kind of quickly. We want to talk a little bit about Tesla because that's a huge story right now. Musk and Twitter. Him gave a speech, I think, in 2018, which essentially is key to this case. The XRP people, Ripple people, who are being sued by the SEC, said that speech was dogma at the SEC. It was SEC policy, and it showed that their suit against XRP and Ripple is biased, and they have favoritism towards other cryptos, namely Ethereum. That speech is key to this case for Ripple proving its case. Why is Ripple slightly ahead in doing that right now? Because the documents are coming out that that Bill Hinman did not make that speech on the web. At least it's suggesting, I can't say what's in his mind, but Bill Hinman is arguing, the SEC is arguing, that those were his opinions, that he just said his opinion. It wasn't SEC policy. New documents are out that suggest maybe it's not just his opinion. It was SEC policy because he circulated the speech to something like 68 people inside the SEC.
Indicating that Ripple is a currency?
Yes. Well, indicating that Ripple is likely a currency.
68 people.
The other ones aren't, thus...
And an emo saying that Ripple is possibly a currency?
...against Ripple by the SEC since its characteristics are similar to Bitcoin and Ethereum. This is how this gets a little getting complicated, but if you care about XRP in this case, and this case is probably going to set the tone for crypto regulation going forward, just so you know. If XRP wins and Ripple, they beat back the SEC, SEC is not going to be able to go after anybody again. Okay, it's going to be very difficult to say other Ethereum and Bitcoin are securities, and therefore they come under SEC guidelines. If XRP loses, well, then Gary Gensler going after Ethereum. But it looks like Ripple has proven the case that maybe these weren't Hinman's own words. It was like SEC policy, and that's a strike in their favor. In this context, that it means that the whole commission really did give a.
You ready for that? So thank you, Dragonfire. Real quick, he brought this to me to. I just shot me a link in there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Robinhood shares popped more than 20% after Sam Bankman-Fried buys 7.6% stake. And right, and that's where this was, and then I shorted that. Why did I short? Because that was news for the classes versus the masses, right? He bought it, so people got into it and said, man, I'm going to buy when he buys, and then it shorted down, and then the Robinhood announcement was made, and this is part of how to make money in a bear market. The announcement goes, people buy. Look at the pre-market. You'll get a good idea. They'll push it. Whatever the opposite of that pre-market, a lot of times, it's the opposite. You'll get a big touch. But in a bear market, we're expecting things to push down and push down. And until the trend changes, that's where we are. So thank you, Dragonfire, for that link. I appreciate you there. Now we can back up and see what... Where are you at? They have the emails, right? And I think that's crazy that now we don't know what these documents are. We do know... According to Phylon, Mr. James Phylon here, if I pull it up, we saw something yesterday. Maybe it wasn't yesterday. Yeah, here it is. It says the parties are in a fight regarding the SEC's response to the defendant's fourth set of requests for admissions. Defendants will file a motion to compel and have proposed a briefing schedule to the court, right? And so we understand that, but there's one more thing that I want you to look at. And that is, what is his name? Deaton. He made a statement here. Is it him that made the statement? I wonder if people have deleted it. There was a discussion about what they're actually fighting over. Some people think that it's really, really, something more behind the scenes, but there's some kind of fight going on outside of the court in discussions between the SEC and the Ripple Labs. So be aware for that. Something is brewing. Something is brewing. We don't know yet, but do we really think this is going to go to trial? We'll find out. Speaking of something brewing, this is something from the digital asset investor. He says, not a coincidence that BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, and Fidelity have backed Circle Pay. We have discussed that on this channel, right? This is something we have 100% discussed on this channel. And it says, being carried in as a savior on the shoulders of mainstream financial media. By the way, at Ripple also worked closely with regulators from the start. Also, USDC runs on Stellar Org, which is XLM, which we've discussed. Okay, so let's go ahead and continue our video trip here and see what's going on.
Regulation. Well, let's think about how regulation should apply as well. As Matt said, you've worked closely with regulators already. We've heard regulators voicing concern around the collapse of Terra USD. What is the appropriate regulatory response? Where do you draw the line between regulation that's helpful and hurtful?
It's a great question. You know, I think the Treasury Department, as you know, issued this presidential working group report on stablecoins last fall. And Undersecretary Liang specifically, you know, in her comments said, you know, it's an urgent issue for Congress to address this because these are growing so fast. They have the potential to introduce meaningful risk to the real economy. And, you know, here we are. We're 6 months or 8 months later, and it's still an urgent issue. And in fact, the urgency has become even more urgent. So the ultimate question is what's the right thing to do here? What I would say is prior to this Terra kind of fiasco, I think there has been really good work going on in Congress. I think the Treasury Department has been working in good faith with policymakers as well to define stablecoin issuer statutes in the United States. And we're seeing, you know, very good progress towards that from both Democrats and Republicans, and are optimistic that we'll see something emerge.
So there you go. You got Circle on here trying to talk about, you know, everything's good. There's bad actors, but we still got some good things going. Now, I heard yesterday someone make a comment about the early internet, about, you know, stablecoins bleeping and beeping and bleeping. And what he made a reference was best thing I've heard, dial-up internet. In the early days of the internet, we all know that if you picked up the phone, the internet went out. Or there's bloop, all those noises, right? But if you picked up the phone, in the middle of that, everything was down. Or internet websites went down. And that's kind of where we are in crypto. And when they made that little thing, I was like, man, that was a good analogy. Putting dial-up internet, not just the internet, but the dial-up, the whole beginning to the beginning of crypto, where internet was real foggy and now we're flowing. So I think that's where we are. And like Dragonfire Crypto said, buy the rumor, sell the news. And that's what we did on the Robinhood thing. Don't know if it will work out so much on my Walmart long, though. I'll tell you that. I don't think it's going to work out on that Walmart long because Walmart is going. And so now that it's below here, I'm actually, after the end of this show, I'm going to cut that because I think Walmart's going to come down to 113. So it just went way below on the R. I mean, this thing is way down here. So I was like, when's the last time it's been way down here? Well, never. This is the farthest Walmart is broken down. So that is why we are long. So we'll see if that holds itself up. All right, let's move on to the next video here. And this is from Tour Demistor. It's another two-minute video, but I want you to listen. It says, it's about Joe Lubin. Was grilled on proof-of-stake vulnerabilities by Bloomberg's Matt Miller. So, and it's about this attack. And I want you to see how these guys respond because they were real cocky 2 years ago. Now listen, let's go.
It makes sense when you have the immutability of a proof-of-work blockchain. I don't want to put the deed to my house or my daughter's birth certificate on a proof-of-stake blockchain. It just doesn't have the security.
That is not correct. Proof of stake is likely to be far more secure, far less attackable. As I indicated, there are 350,000 validators currently validating Ethereum 2. There are attack vectors against proof of work systems that involve essentially hiring mining power for short periods of time and executing an attack. And then if you fail, then not that big a deal. If you fail, first of all, putting an attack together in a proof of stake system is enormously expensive because you'd have to.
But very acquire, possible, right? All you need is 51%.
Well, 51% of hundreds of billions of dollars is not easy to get to, but and once you start trying to accumulate, that would drive the price of Ether up to essentially unobtainable levels.
Only if you buy it, not if you steal it.
Well, it would be very hard to steal that much Ether, I believe. So I have to disagree with you. I think it's pretty clear for people who understand.
Joe, what about the centralization? What about the centralization? Because it seems like there is a relatively small number of firms that are staking a whole bunch of different coins. Is it going to be as decentralized as a proof of work blockchain?
Well, the openness, diversity, and drive towards maximal decentralization of the Ethereum protocol is underway. 350,000 validators is a pretty big number, much bigger than any other system. And the barrier to entry for individuals or small organizations to validate the Ethereum network is very low now compared to proof of work systems. It is the case that that some exchanges have sizable validator pools, and we built a technology that is just way more accessible, and it will lead to maximal decentralization.
So what I want you to notice there is that guy, the interview there, Matt Miller, let me see if I can just find his face. Let's see if we can just find his face. Look at that. This guy is not having it. He was drilling him. The tone was not friendly. And he was on attack. And then saying, well, he's like, it'd be highly unlikely for Ethereum to be intact. And here's the thing. A government has enough money to attack it. BlackRock and Citadel, although it's alleged, nothing confirmed except on the blockchain network and through all the data, nothing is confirmed for real, right? That they attacked Terra Luna and the UST. But Ethereum will be attacked. The question is, by who? Will it need to be? Or will it just be USDT taking it out? There's just a question for you. And as Dragonfire said, yeah, that's what I saw, brother. The file for Moshe Capel had process briefing scheduled to try to move it to May 18th. Or, oh, it was May 18th. Maybe next week. Maybe they filed it this morning. But that is what we're trying to see. And real quick, as we're talking about Ethereum, I just got another email. I don't think you can see that. Nope, probably can't. But I have here where I invest in IPO for Ripple. It's not on Link 2. It's on something else. For accredited investors, it says investment size 54,000, share price $45 per share. Last evaluation for Ripple common stock at 11 billion. Deals implied at 8 billion. Discount to last evaluation 26.81%. Most recent funding size $300 million. Okay, so there's more offerings here. Just got an email for one of the IPOs that I invest in. So which one is it? XRP, is that the security or not? I guess we will see. And the other day, and I'm not going to play this because it's 9:52. They went in on stable coins again. I guess it's 1:19. And then this is, yeah, we can do it. We got 2 minutes left. Let me just go ahead and hit that play button and not waste any time. Turn this up. Let's go.
Actually, it would qualify under the constraints that you've laid out in this legislation. I mean, it was a surprise to see Tether under so much pressure last week because it was supposed to be the biggest and the most reliable.
Well, there are several, as you know, that are actually backed, but part of the concern right now is that it's unclear, even as you know, Tether has claimed that they're actually backed, but it's unclear what they're backed by, how much is by U.S. currency versus an equivalence versus not. So I think that's exactly the kind of requirement we need to put forward. And for people to be qualified and to give people that certainty, if they want to be a stable coin, that's how they're going to define themselves. And they're going to actually have to show their investors where those resources are. you know, it's crazy right now that you could actually develop a stablecoin and not be backed by anything. And then people go into it, and suddenly, you know, they read these websites. I hear from my constituents all the time about it. The website says, don't worry, if there's a problem, it's insured. And then suddenly they have a problem. There's some theft. We know there's been hacking. There's been terror issues. And there's literally nothing there to actually protect them. So those are the kind of things we got to be vigilant on to make sure innovation can happen, protect consumers, but also allow the space to grow and flourish. It's very exciting.
So there you go. The attack on stablecoins is full up. It's going, it's running, and it's going. So the FUD's here. Do we have, again, one more pushdown? If you guys watch Long Sum Short Sum the earlier, we talked about trading in a bear market, and that's what we'll continue every single day. Got one more video for you by Liz Klayman, and we're going to play her.
Tis the season for
let her go.
Filings, and billionaire Warren Buffett just dropped a doozy. But Red Fox Liz, what's a 13F filing? Every quarter, big whale investors like Warren Buffett are required to disclose what they bought and sold during that three-month period. Yesterday, Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway revealed he has completely exited from the stock he's held for 33 years. Wells Fargo. Some are actually kind of surprised it took him this long. In 2016, the LA Times busted a move by uncovering a fake account scandal at the bank. Wells Fargo stock never really recovered from that. It's down about 20% over the last 5 years. Buffett also tossed nearly all of his $8 billion stake in Verizon. No, he can't hear you now. But when the billionaire sells, he also buys. He scooped up 55 million shares of Citigroup and the stock pre-market is popping. As for Wells and Verizon, we've got Wells up slightly, Verizon's down a bit, but by 3 p.m. Eastern, the final hour of trade, we will know if investors follow Buffett's lead. See you then on the Klayman Countdown.
So we got a good chance to see Liz there. She gave us a little information, a little side note, and yesterday it followed. So wanted to play that for you a little bit, guys. Today has been a crazy day so far. We've kind of gone over our Welcome Wednesdays. I know real quick, Dragonfire Crypto went ahead and showed me this. Parties in a fight regarding the SEC's response. Here is the motion filed. Gives us 7 days. Would not exceed 7 days from the filing yesterday on the 17th. So we are looking at the 24th as a day of interest, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on the show today. This is the end of the daily topic section. Please make sure you do the social media thing. We're at 9 likes right now. The goal is always 10. Notification bell, do the social media thing. You know what it is. We are anywhere and everywhere you guys can find a podcast. Spotify, Amazon, wherever it might be. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. That is the end of this section, which is our daily topic. So let's go ahead and get out of here and close this show out. Thank you guys and God bless. Hey guys, thanks for watching. Please make sure you like, subscribe, share this video, subscribe to this channel, and do the thing that people do on social media. At Twitter, at TikTok, you know, New Creation Capital. Let us know, guys. Thanks so much. I hope you guys have a great day. Later, guys.